Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it. The purpose of working on your game is to win, to prepare, to perform, to produce a result, and then enjoy the spoils of your victory. This process can and will be tough, and it will challenge you.
Stay all day, doctor.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Listen, my new book, Work on Your Game, Using the Pro Athlete Mindset to Dominate in Sports, Business, and Life, is coming out February 22nd. Go to workonyourgame.net and pre-order that book, because I'm going to give you some amazing bonus pre-order giveaways just for pre-ordering that book before it comes out on February 22nd. That website again is workonyourgame.net. To get all the pre-order bonuses, pre-order the book from your favorite retailer, and get all this extra stuff from me in addition to getting this podcast. Again, that website, workonyourgame.net. Let's get to it. Pat yourself on the back for tuning into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, there is more. You get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is that go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast, the book, known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show today, and as always. And here's the deal. Amazon decided, and any of you who follow me, if you are on my email list, you probably received an email where I talked about this. Maybe you did. If you are a follower of me on Instagram, you follow my Instagram story or Snapchat, you heard me talk about this. Amazon bumped up the release of my book, Work On Your Game, from February the 22nd to February the 20th. So instead of the book coming out on Friday, the book is going to come out Wednesday. Now, I ordered the book myself also, but they sent me an email that said it's going to come out. I'm going to get it on the 22nd. And I've seen other people's who pre-ordered the book. And they said they're going to get it on the 20th. So sometime between the 20th and the 22nd, expect to receive, if you ordered a physical copy and you live in the United States, you will receive Work On Your Game. If you ordered a digital copy, you should have access to that on February the 20th. Again, this is Amazon changed that date. And I spoke to the publisher and they said, yes, that's the plan, that the book is going to come out on February 20th. The audiobook will be available also on February 20th. Again, the publisher said that that is the plan. That's verbiage that they use. I'd rather them just say absolutely yes. But the audiobook should be ready by the 20th. Maybe it'll be ready by the time you listen to this episode. And just in case you do not remember me making this offer, if you leave a review on Amazon, 5-star review of the book, Work On Your Game, take a screenshot of that review and send it to me via email or DM or however you can contact me, I will send you the audiobook via Audible completely for free. You can hear the audio version of Work On Your Game. And since you listen to this podcast, I would suspect that you would enjoy listening to the audio version of Work On Your Game, which is amazing. Leave a review of the book, 5-star review. Take a screenshot of your review and send it to me. And here's a note. You cannot leave a review of the book until the book is actually available. So since it's not available yet, you can't leave a pre-review before the book comes out. But have your review ready. Know that you have this option available to you. Leave the review, send it to me, and you'll get the audio book for free. All that being said, what you are about to listen to is the introductory chapter, the actual introductory chapter. There are no edits. It's completely unabridged, 1,000% done by Dre Baldwin, the person you're listening to right now, the introductory chapter of my book, Work On Your Game. Therefore, after you get done listening to this and you leave that 5-star Amazon review and you send it to me and I send you the free audiobook, you don't even have to listen to the introduction again unless you want to, because you're getting the full introduction right now. You can see the length of this episode. The introduction is about 40 minutes long. So this is not a few sentences introduction. This is basically a chapter here. It's actually longer than some of the chapters of the book. A couple of the chapters of the book, this introduction right here. You're about to hear the full introduction. When this ends, make sure you go over to Amazon, pre-order the book so you can get the pre-order bonuses and make sure that you are guaranteed delivery. You know how Amazon does. to make sure you got guaranteed delivery on the release date of that book. If you're getting the digital, then you'll get it immediately that day. If you are getting the audiobook, make sure on the 20th, again, leave a 5-star review, take a screenshot of that review, send me that screenshot of the review that you left. You will get the audiobook completely, 100% for free. I want all y'all to listen to that audio. And if you listen to this podcast, of course you want to hear the audio. That's that. Let's get into the introduction of my book, Work on Your Game. Enjoy, order, and I'll hear from you when you send me that 5-star review screenshot. Work on your game. Introduction. Why Work on Your Game exists. Anyone who knows me knows. I give it to you straight. No sugarcoating. My aim is not to make you happy, but to create success stories and help you invest in and generate results. I know how to put all the BS aside and get things done, and I'll teach you how to do the same. Throughout this book, you'll get to know me more. You'll learn that I've been through the rough stuff. I've failed, fallen flat on my face, been knocked down, counted out, and disregarded. But I still made it happen for myself while running on my own energy. My background is a background that everyone has heard of and seen, but less than 1% of the human population ever lives. And even though my personal story is off the beaten path, I'll articulate clearly my understanding of the challenges that you face, and I'll tell you exactly what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I originally introduced the Work on Your Game philosophy for athletes, from amateur to professional, for them to improve their mental games both inside and outside of their sports. The philosophy quickly grew outside the bounds of competitive sports and found its way into boardrooms and sales teams. Work on Your Game is a formula for achievement for anyone who is ready to grow and own their game, no matter what that game may be. Work on Your Game is a step-by-step process that maximizes you and your ability and, by definition, eliminates competition, because you at your best cannot be replicated nor replaced. If all of that inspires you, you're in the right place. And if this is your introduction to me, nice to meet you. Eighth grade advice. The best advice I ever received was from an eighth grader who had beaten me 10-0 in a game of one-on-one basketball. And before you say that advice from an eighth grader may be too basic for you, I'm calling bullshit. It's exactly what you need, so stick around. It'll be worth it, I promise. We were riding home from our middle school pre-graduation trip, and I was seated next to Brandon Abney, the best basketball player in our school. I asked Brandon for some advice on my still weak basketball game. As the best basketball player that I had direct access to, I looked up to Brandon, even though we were the same age. Anything he would tell me about the game of basketball was something that I would take and run with. And what Brandon said next changed my life forever. Dre, you had to do two things. Number one, stop playing scared. Number two, buy a game. Brandon's wisdom was far beyond his 14 years. These instructions became the foundation of not only what I did on the basketball court, but what I do still to this day in all aspects of my business and my life. Now, at first, I didn't even understand what Brandon meant by buy a game. I came to the conclusion that it simply meant get some skills, which meant to put in the time, work harder, and get better. Today, that phrase, buy a game, it still means putting in the time to get the results you want. I don't care what your job is, sports or not, what title you have, or where you work. No matter the circumstance, if you don't work, you'll have no game. Examine your game. You're going to hear these examine your game boxes like this one here throughout this audiobook. These boxes will include questions and ideas for you to think through and answer about your game, your progress, and what needs to be changed, stepped up, or eliminated. The start of Work on Your Game. I've been spreading this Work on Your Game message since May of 2005 when I started blogging on a site called blogspot.com. Work on Your Game, or WOYG, was birthed in January 2009 when I spoke these exact words on camera at the 24-hour fitness gym in Cutler Bay, Miami at 2:00 in the morning. We will get into all of that later, how that came to be. But first, let's get back to how and why I was receiving such profound life advice from a 14-year-old kid. Julia R. Masterman, junior and senior high, located at 17th and Spring Garden Streets in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That was my school from 5th through 8th grade. While I left Masterman after the 8th grade to go to a different high school, Brandon, who had given me that stop playing scared and buy a game advice, he continued at Masterman where he played 4 years of varsity basketball. Now I, conversely, would be attending George Washington Carver High School of Engineering and Science, better known as ENS in Philadelphia, where I would, well, I didn't really know what I would do as far as basketball went, but I was bragging to everybody who would listen that I was going to make the varsity at ENS as a freshman. Now, before going our separate ways from middle school, Brandon graciously pointed out to me some of my playing deficiencies in basketball. He knew my abilities from the lunchtime pickup games on Masterman's rooftop playground we played every day at lunch, and he could tell that I always played as if I was nervous or scared. And you know what? Brandon was right. I was both nervous and scared, mostly because I had no game. I was nervous about messing up and letting my much better teammates down in the heat of the moment, which I ended up doing anyway. I was nervous about having the ball and not knowing what to do with it, and that happened too many times to count. And I was afraid of shooting an air ball or missing a layup in front of all the girls who were watching, which is exactly what happened. Brandon explained to me that if I was going to become a competent basketball player, I had to play the game fearlessly. I couldn't hesitate or be worried about messing up. In order to erase that fear, what I needed to do was hone my skills, which would naturally expand my confidence. Now, at age 14, I couldn't dribble a basketball very well, and I was an unreliable outside shooter. I had only a loose understanding of the concept of defense. I didn't like being thrown these hard bullet passes because I couldn't catch. I had the desire to be a useful player. I just didn't have the ability. I had no skills. And at age 14, I didn't know that skills, quote unquote, went further than dribbling, passing, and shooting. Skills also included confidence, discipline, mental toughness, and personal initiative. Examine your game. When is the last time you took voluntary action to get better at your job? My challenge as a teenager, knowing that I lacked game, was figuring out exactly how I could improve my game. What were the specific actions that I needed to take? I knew that my current skill level wasn't enough to be taken seriously as a basketball player, and I knew that my mental game, playing tentatively, being indecisive, and generally lacking confidence, I knew that needed improvement. I had to figure out all the steps to close the gap between where I was and where I wanted to be. Now, it's been more than 20 years since that infamous bus ride, and I've come to learn that Brandon's advice was absolutely right. Skills plus mental game equals success. Working on my own game. Following Brandon's advice, I felt I had bought a healthy amount of game by the time I got to 11th grade in high school. But I was cut from my high school's varsity basketball team again on the first day of tryouts. Again. By this point, I knew I had the skills. The missing piece, though, was getting my mental game in the right space. And at that time, I did not have the confidence to display all of my abilities under the pressure of the moment. I developed just enough confidence to finally make the team as a senior, where I sat the bench the whole season. As a college player, my poor practice habits got me kicked off my college's basketball team as a junior. Nothing easy came for me after that, even. My first two jobs after college, before my professional athletic career even began, were working at Foot Locker and at Bally Total Fitness as a membership salesperson. When transitioning from professional athlete to business person many years later, I applied the same techniques that I'm going to share with you throughout this book. I share my philosophy here so that you too can not only reach top of your game, but stay there. Your game. I stopped playing professional basketball in 2015. People often ask me what provoked me to leave the game, especially since I was still in pretty good shape. I worked out every day, was still relatively young, and had not suffered any major injuries. Maybe you've wondered why any professional athlete will walk away from the game other than old age or injury. Is it that we grow tired of the screaming fans and relatively light work hours, all while earning a decent paycheck? Of course not. That's the fun part. Most people will not walk away from that very easily. For me, and the myriad former pros whom I've asked this same question, it's the daily grind that pushes you out. the training, the recovery, the preparation required to remain at that peak level mentally and physically. This part of the process was what I was done with, and you know what? I still don't miss it. I never grew tired of the games or the fans or the attention. That's the fun and easy part. I just no longer wanted to make the physical and mental investments that started the chain of events that led to those fun and easy parts of a professional athlete's life. This situation, though, doesn't only happen in sports. This happens in boardrooms, it happens in new businesses, and it happens everywhere else in life. No matter your industry or your experience level, when you no longer want to work on your game, the game's over. Unfortunately, though, some people stay in the game far past the point where they've stopped working. Differences in sports, we know when you haven't been working in the business world, sometimes you can get away with it, but we're going to get into that. Every game has winners and losers. It has been said that the toughest games reveal our character. Those who want to believe that winning and losing don't matter, those are the people who usually spend a lot of time losing. The purpose of working on your game is to win, to prepare, to perform, to produce a result, and then enjoy the spoils of your victory. This process can and will be tough, and it will challenge you. But when you become, do, and have what you want, that payoff is hopefully more than worth all the hard work and sacrifice that you invested into the result. Notice that I didn't say the game had to be fun at all times. You don't need to be excited nor motivated to show up, compete, and do your job. The only thing you need to win in any game are the mental tools that unlock the physical tools that allow you to prepare and perform at your best. Some sports leagues outside of the United States, they utilize a system of relegation in which the worst performing teams in a league, they get demoted to a lower level league, and then the best teams from that lower league, conversely, they get promoted to take their spot. The business world has a similar system where those who underperform or remain stagnant for long enough, they find themselves completely out of the game. Examine your game. What are you consistently doing to progress in your game? The four work on your game principles. As a philosophy, work on your game is based on four results-driven principles that apply across all professions, tasks, and hobbies for any person of any age. Number one, discipline. Showing up day after day to do the work. This is the hallmark of the professional. Number two, confidence. Putting yourself out there boldly and authentically to be seen, heard, possibly criticized, ridiculed, and judged by the general public. Number three, mental toughness. Continuing to be disciplined and confident even when doing so has not yet produced the results you've expected. And number four, personal initiative. This is the capacity to take chances, to bet on yourself, to be a go-getter, to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen, seizing and creating opportunities for yourself. You look at any work that you've done, professionally or personally, whether you were paid for that work or not, where you have produced results and felt you achieved some level of success, these work on your game principles have been a huge part of that success, guaranteed. Make work on your game your own. Whenever I read books like the one that you're reading or listening to right now, I would always unconsciously wonder to myself, how am I going to remember and actually use all of this material? The answer to that is to internalize what you're hearing. Understand that internalizing goes a level deeper than memorization or just trying to remember what you've heard. Internalizing means making new knowledge a part of your being through repeated application, not just repeated listening, but repeated application. Repetition, such as listening to this book over and over again, that can help you memorize what I'm saying, but repetition alone isn't enough to derive real value from this information. It's the use of the information, actually applying it yourself in your life, that's going to make it real for you. And that's the commitment that I want you to make in listening to this audiobook. I played college basketball at Penn State Altoona, an NCAA Division III or D3 school. And honestly, most D3 athletes, they know that their college years are the mark of the end of their athletic careers. Among my teammates at Penn State Altoona, my athletic ability alone made me stand out, even when I wasn't going as hard as I could have been. This very experience of being able to outplay my opponents without trying my hardest, that fooled me into believing it was always going to be that way. One day, though, a couple of college teammates and I, this is during my senior year, we went to play some pickup basketball at nearby St. Francis University, which is a Division I school in Loretto, Pennsylvania, about 35 minutes away from Altoona. Now, if you've ever watched professional basketball on TV, almost all of those players, they come from Division I programs, programs like St. Francis. These are the players at the top of the food chain, so to speak, players who are on full-ride college scholarships in exchange for their athletic talents. Division III schools, in case you didn't know, they don't even offer athletic scholarships. On this particular day, playing at St. Francis, there was one particular play that happened that became a major wake-up call for me. Okay, so picture a pickup basketball game happening, and I'm on a breakaway heading towards the basket. That means there's no one in between me and the hoop, so I'm about to get this highlight dunk, or at least I thought I was. I had the ball cupped in my right arm, and I'm poised to just throw this dunk down and make a statement. And the only person on the court who even had a chance to catch up to me was this 6'7" St. Francis player by the name of Chris. Now, I was the most athletic player at my school, Penn State Altoona, like I told you. And Chris, well, he was the most athletic guy over in Loretto. So we were about to meet on our way to the basket. I jumped for my dunk, and Chris, well, he jumped too. Now, we met in the air, and the ball was about 11 feet above the floor, and the basket's being 10 feet high. You got to be higher than it to dunk the ball, right? 3 feet to the right of the rim, because I'm about to throw it into the basket for the dunk. But the next thing that I remember is laying on the floor face up. Chris, that 6'7 player from St. Francis, he had easily blocked my dunk, basically took the ball right out of my hands in midair. He was standing next to my body, which was laying on the floor, and he was still holding the ball. That sudden halt in my momentum had sent me crashing to the floor, and everybody on the court had stopped playing and gathered around to make sure I was okay while I was still laying there. Now, while I was a bit physically shaken from falling on my back so hard, it was really my bruised ego that needed the ice pack that night. And riding back home to Altoona after those pickup games in St. Francis, I realized a few things. Number one, the skills that I thought would be my meal ticket to professional basketball, those skills weren't even an appetizer to these D1 players. These guys just had more talent, more size, more experience than me. And two, when playing against the best players, like these players at St. Francis we faced that night, I was not going to be able to coast through games the way that I had conditioned myself to do against the weaker competition in Altoona at the D3 level. The mental aspect of my game could no longer be a luxury. I realized that it was a requirement. Three, this had happened during the spring semester of my senior year, meaning I was about a month or two away from graduation and heading out into what they call the real world, especially in sports. The players who I would face at the professional level, they would be just as talented as the guy who had just blocked my dunk as if I wasn't even there, which means I needed to get my stuff together and I needed to hurry up. In sports, especially basketball, fewer than 1% of players become pros. And at the pro level, everyone has physical ability. Similarly, at the professional level of business, everyone has knowledge, education, and experience. Once you're in the pros, skills, including knowledge and physical ability, those are a commodity. While you surely need skill to get there, skill alone won't keep you there. Well, if everyone at the top level has skills, you may be wondering, what's the difference between the all-stars and the benchwarmers, the CEOs and those stuck in middle management? What makes one a legend while others never move past that label of potential? The difference is what I call the mental game. At every level, whether we're talking playing on the playground, high school basketball, college sports, or the professional level, I played with and against players who had way more athletic talent than I did, meaning they were taller than me, ran faster, jumped higher, or just had overall better ability to play basketball. And all of these players who I'm thinking of, they never made it beyond a certain level. Some didn't have the confidence to show all of their game when called on. Many of them lacked the discipline to focus on their game and everything around the game while leaving everything else, such as drugs, alcohol, woman chasing, and the streets, leaving that stuff alone. Several of them didn't have the mental toughness to stick to a program and keep working when the results that they expected to achieve were just late to show up, just a lack of mental toughness. If every basketball player, that I've come across, understood, and applied the work on your game principles as I understood and applied them, I'll tell you what, I would not have become a professional athlete because there were too many players out there with a lot more talent than I had. Though I was blessed with some God-given ability, I made up in mental game what I lacked in talent. It's what I still do to this day, and what you will learn to do too. You cannot afford a deficiency in the mental game. When you're a pro competing against the best, there is no room to feel sorry for yourself. You must have full belief in your game, even if the next guy is objectively better than you, at least for now. Even when you're unsure of your skills, you can't afford to show it. Anything you lack can and will be used against you. And the grim reality is, unlike for me that day playing at St. Francis, nobody's going to gather around to check on you when you fall down. They'll just leave you there. You want to be a what? After graduating from Penn State Altoona in 2004 with a business management and marketing degree, I moved back into my parents' home in Philadelphia, the same house that I had grown up in. It wasn't more than 48 hours that I had been home before Mom wanted to have what has now famously to me become known as the conversation. So picture me standing in my parents' bedroom and Mom asking me what my future plans were now that I had a college degree and all. At that point, my hoops ambition was nothing more than simply a dream, but I wasn't ready yet to be, quote, realistic, unquote. So I answered her question saying that I was going to become a professional basketball player. Now, Mom, she had been folding clothes when she asked me the question initially, and she stopped folding her clothes and she gave me this wide-eyed stare. I think her mouth was open too. My dad, who had been half facing me when the conversation began, he turned his body so he could see me directly. You want to be a what? Mom asked. And you ever had someone ask you a question that was more of a demand than actually a question? I said, well, I'm going to play basketball. But I didn't say it with full confidence because I really had no idea how I was going to do it. Where? She asked. Now she was half confused and half annoyed. And I answered her question honestly. I don't know yet. Now, from that point forward, I didn't say another word. But my mom went on this 3-minute tirade that summarized the whole 22-year vision that she had had for her children. I was 22 years old at the time. She had sacrificed a lot of her time and energy to make sure that my sister Latoya and I got the best educations we could get. And it was important to my mother that we both finish school and acquire good, acceptable, and secure jobs. At least that was the formula back then. Now, Latoya, my high-achieving academic sister, she had lived out most of my mom's plan. She had earned multiple degrees from college, University of Pennsylvania, and in Stanford University. I had executed a solid 95% of the plan, but in my one statement that I had just made about playing basketball professionally after all of this education, I was basically saying I'm going to throw all of my mother's sacrifices away for some pipe dream of playing basketball. And that's what it sounded like to her, at least. To Mom, my hoop dream was a personal affront to her 22 years of struggle and strife, money saving and bill paying. For the first and only time in this conversation, my mother addressed basketball directly. If you want to play basketball, go join a men's league or something, she declared. My father didn't say much, but he did offer two pieces of feedback. Number one, he told me that I could go on websites like careerbuilder.com to aid in my job search. To this very day, I hate careerbuilder.com. Number two, my father shared with me that when Latoya and I were younger, he himself had had an opportunity to travel and tour as a musician, but he had turned it down because his full-time day job would not have granted the time off. He couldn't afford to leave that job because he had a wife and two young children to support at the time. And I wasn't quite sure what to make of this second point my father had made. Was he telling me that secure, steady work was more important than doing what I really wanted to do? Was he telling me that it wasn't possible to both do what I wanted in life and pay my bills while doing it? Now, I don't know what point he was making because I never followed up on that question. But I do remember that this whole conversation, if you want to call it that, it didn't last very long. Everything my mother and father had said to me was logical, reasonable, and true. All of it. No intelligent person would have considered my basketball plan, if you even want to call it that, a very sound plan. So, being a broke, jobless, and having no money-making prospects in basketball or otherwise, now college graduate, I went into my bedroom and I cried. Not because I was sad, And not because I was disappointed that my parents wouldn't support my dreams. I cried because I was angry at the fact that the truth was the truth. I was angry that I was being told, and more or less I was being told, that it was time to be realistic, as they say. I was angry that after 4 years of college and all the years I had put into working on my game in basketball, I was now face to face with the real world, and I didn't like what I was seeing. While I believed that I still could become everything I had always seen myself becoming, being well-known, well-paid, and idolized by fans, that wasn't what kept my desire burning. Instead, it was my determination to prove that I absolutely would not, under any circumstances, let them, whether it be my parents' non-belief in what I was planning to do, any past coaches who I had butted heads with, rival players who didn't think I was very good, college professors who wasn't sure I had much of a future, or any peers who didn't believe in my dreams, I would not let any of them win. You can call that mentality what you want. You can call it ego. You can call it unhealthy. The only thing that matters is that it worked for me. When I cried that day in 2004, I was at an emotional peak. You know, one of those rare life experiences when you never forget what happened in that moment, where you were, how you felt, and who was involved. Things that happen when any of us is at an emotional peak, those things get burned into our subconscious in such a way that it shapes and drives our behavior long after the actual situation has happened. These moments shape our lives and who we become as people. The moment that I've described is the very reason why everything that happened after that moment happened. Those tears that came from my emotional peak that day are the reason why I became a professional athlete, and by extension, the only reason you're listening to this book right now. That was the last time that I cried because it was the last time that I felt completely powerless to make something happen in my own life. Those tears guaranteed that I would never feel that way again. And I never have. Who do you play for? When playing or practicing basketball, I would always wonder if I looked as good to an observer as I thought I looked in my own mind. Sometimes I would do something while practicing by myself that I wish I had some proof of so I could show it to other people. I had a few dunks in my college career even that I know were certified highlights, except that back then, there were no cameras in the gym, so nobody would ever know that that even happened. So when I finally had footage of myself playing basketball and doing it well, I needed to preserve that footage and keep it somewhere safe and sound, because that would be my proof for the rest of my life. A year after graduating college, I made plans to attend my first pro basketball exposure camp. What's an exposure camp, you ask? Imagine a job fair, but for athletes. So instead of us shaking hands and passing out our resumes or whatever they do at job fairs, we would bring our basketball playing equipment and we would compete in games against each other in front of our potential future coaches, bosses, agents, and team owners. I signed up for an exposure camp called InfoSport, which no longer exists, but it was being held then in Altamonte Springs, Florida, just outside of Orlando. My two college teammates and I drove from Philadelphia the night before the start of the camp all the way down to Orlando. I think that was a 15-hour drive, if I recall. I played pretty well at this camp. I received a glowing scouting report. I even had all of my games video recorded. I finally had proof of my basketball skill, and with this footage that would serve as proof to pro basketball decision makers that I was good enough to play at the highest level of the game, I would take it and make things happen. My performance at InfoSport jump-started my career. I signed with my first agent later that summer, and quickly thereafter, I landed a job playing basketball in Kaunas, Lithuania. I was officially a professional. After that, I played for a traveling team in the United States, then in Mexico, all within 2 years of graduating college. My hoop dream was finally actually happening, and it all started from having proof of my ability to perform. But there was one issue. This proof of mine, it was on a VHS tape. Now, if you aren't familiar with VHS, just know that it's a physical copy of a recording, which means the content could not be viewed unless you actually had physical possession of the tape. But luckily, at the time, digital online video was just starting to become popular. So I got this particular VHS tape transferred onto a CD. Then I put that CD into the disk drive of a desktop computer, and I published my first ever basketball video on April 28th, 2006 to this brand new video site that I heard of called YouTube. I uploaded the video not to get attention for myself, not to build a brand or become an influencer or any of that, but strictly for safekeeping purposes. I was not a known athlete. I had never been on TV. I wasn't expecting anybody to watch a Dre Baldwin video, much less be looking for me because nobody knew my name. And you know what? I was right. Nobody was looking for me, but many people were looking for help with their basketball skills. Publishing these free training guides for basketball or any other sport, this didn't exist in 2006. I didn't recognize this as an opportunity, though, until months later when I logged back onto this new YouTube site to make sure my video was still there. And what I saw shocked me. There were comments, meaning real human people had watched my little 3-minute highlight tape and they left comments and asked me questions. Who do you play for? What school did you go to? Who taught you how to play? Have you ever tried out for the NBA? What's your vertical jump measurement? How often do you practice? Can you make more videos on shooting, dribbling, jumping, defense? I was excited when I saw these comments. All the questions being asked to me were things that I actually could do and or explain. I just needed to get them all on video. I started to bring my new $100 digital camera with me to the gym every single day just to film myself practicing. And between 2006 and 2009, I created a brand new genre of sharing basketball videos for other players to learn from, which is now, as you probably know, a full-fledged business for thousands of people in all types of areas of fitness, exercise, and sports. Early on, my publishing to YouTube was very sporadic. I just did it whenever I got around to it. But despite that, my small but growing band of followers, they wanted to know more about this random basketball guy on that new YouTube site. So as I published more drills and more tips on the game, viewers began asking questions about me personally and asking me about my mindset for playing the game. They would ask me things like, how do you remain confident when you got cut from your high school team 3 years in a row? What keeps you coming to the gym every day when you don't even have a playing contract sometimes, but you want to be a professional? I really appreciate you sharing this stuff. I'm 27 years old myself, and people have been telling me it's too late to go after my basketball dreams. So seeing you out there every day has made me believe that I can do it too. Thank you. We understand your motivation, Dre, to sign a contract and play more professional basketball. But what's your motivation to put all this stuff on YouTube? I mean, what do you get out of doing this? While addressing these questions, I started talking about the way that I approached the game and my life, which was rooted in mental toughness, confidence, and discipline. And on Monday, October 4th, 2010, my weekly motivation series began, where I would discuss a topic that applied not only to sports, but to life that was all based on mindset. This series led to me writing my books, The Mental Handbook and The Mirror of Motivation. When I decided to stop playing basketball in 2015, I had positively influenced the lives of millions of people, both athletes and non-athletes, all through the internet. Today, I share what I learned from my experience through activities such as consulting, podcasting, speaking, and writing, like this audiobook you're listening to. And that's where the spaces of my life and career come together to create the book that you are now hearing. Work on Your Game is not about you making it into a professional athlete. It's not about you becoming a speaker or podcaster or preparing you for any other specific job. Instead, Work on Your Game will push you to maximize your potential so you can become, do, and achieve whatever you want. And there is something that you want. What you're getting. Work on Your Game is about the mindset I taught myself while creating my basketball career, my personal brand, and my business. The most important skill you'll learn in this book is how to be a true professional, no matter your line of work. Being a professional, understand, is not about contracts, titles, or money. A business suit does not make you a professional any more than a pair of Jordan sneakers will make you a basketball player. It is about being the person who shows up and gets the job done every time, regardless of what you're feeling inside. This book is not made to make you feel good for a while and then collect dust on your shelf or in your phone. The goal of Work on Your Game is the same as it has been in all of my videos, blogs, books, live streams, podcasts, and interviews since 2005. And that goal is to change lives. you will maximize your game, whatever that game is, and squeeze all the juice out of your opportunities as long as you agree to the following four principles. Number one, the mental game controls every other game. Mastering your mental game makes everything else that you do, quote, work, unquote. Number two, if you read and enjoy this book, and then you just let it sit and do nothing with what you've learned and what you've read, that is not the fault of the book and is not the fault of your author. That would be your fault. You must put in the work and apply what you learn. Number three, if you take in, follow, and apply what I give you in Work on Your Game, you will be playing the mental game at a completely new level, the level of someone who makes it into the top 1% of your chosen profession. Number four, how much you believe that this book will help you plays a huge role in if and how much it actually helps you. So understand that what you believe and what you expect, not only with this book, but in all of your life, that's usually what you end up getting. When you're ready to shift your life to a whole new level, turn the page and let's work on your game. Since we don't have comments or live interaction here, I created a survey so I can learn more about my audience, your needs, your wants, your desires, and how I can best serve you moving forward. So please go to DreAllDay.com/survey and take the Work on Your Game podcast survey so I can learn more about those things that I just said and better tailor future content for you. I appreciate it. DreAllDay.com/survey. Take it now. As you know, my book, Work on Your Game, is coming out February 22nd. Would you like to see a video of me reading to you the introductory chapter of that book? How about learning how I would build my brand starting today? How about me explaining to you how I landed a major book publishing contract? What about the writing process for putting this book together with the publisher? And how about how the Work on Your Game podcast comes to be? Do you want to know exactly how we put this whole thing together? All of those that I just mentioned are bonuses that you get just for pre-ordering my book, Work on Your Game, which is coming out again February 22nd. Go to workonyourgame.net to see all the pre-order bonuses, pre-order that book, and get those bonuses for yourself. Again, that website, workonyourgame.net. I told you I was going to give you tons of value, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work on Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.